from KQED.
You're listening to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. In her new book, How Safe Are We?, former Secretary of Homeland Security Janet Napolitano reflects on how secure the U.S. has been since 9/11. Napolitano argues that the most urgent threats America faces are climate change and cybersecurity, not a crisis at the southern border. And Janet Napolitano joins us this segment to talk about immigration policy under President Trump, the current state of the Department of Homeland Security, and her role as president of the University of California system at a time of admission scandals and free speech controversies. And welcome back to Forum, Janet Napolitano.
Thank you.
Good to have you. Actually, I just want to begin by saying you were running a state as an executive. You're running the UCs now as an executive. But in reading your book, it's just incredible how broad your mandate was running Homeland Security. Just learning those acronyms alone, I realized, was about an amazing, formidable task. I want to get to what you're raising here about safety and how safe are we is a central question. What you're saying is we're a lot more safe when it comes to the southern border than we are with respect to, as I said in the introduction, cybersecurity or, for that matter, climate change.
I think that's right. I think the southwest border, and, you know, I grew up in New Mexico. I spent most of my adult life in Arizona. I know that border very well. And it's a zone. It needs to be managed. There is a lot of legitimate trade and individual travel that happens along that border. It's the most frequently crossed land border in the world. But it is not inherently a risk to the safety and security of the American people versus the aspects of global warming, climate change that result in extreme weather events that we've seen so frequently in California with the drought and then the resulting wildfires. But we've seen more landfall hurricanes, greater number and intensity of tornadoes. All of these affect people, you know, where they live. And then, of course, the threat of cybersecurity, which is extraordinarily complex and complicated. But we live in a cyber era now, and we haven't taken full account of the security aspects of that.
So according to recent reports, you've got about 100,000 people poised to cross the Texas border. And you have, for example, U.S. Customs and Border Commissioner saying the border has hit its breaking point. These things sound, and certainly when the president starts using words like invasion in many people's minds, as being not only serious, but quite profoundly serious and imminent.
Well, first of all, there is typically an increase in migrant traffic across the southwest border this time of year as before the summer hits with the summer heat. And beyond that, there seems to have been a real lack of planning, I must say, by the Department of Homeland Security to prepare for what could be seen coming for several months. And in my view, the resources are strained in part because you're taking the position that everyone has to be detained. Everyone doesn't have to be detained. People can be given ankle bracelets. They can be given multiple requirements to report back, and the vast majority do. So it's that some of the policies that have been enacted by the administration to be so-called tough on the border have actually exacerbated the conditions there.
Yeah, you talk about better use of resources in light of particularly, well, immigration courts and better border technology, all of that, and agents wasting time on individual cases. But what about the president now threatening to close the southern border?
Oh, I think that would be not just unwise, but actually destructive. You know, as I mentioned, there are thousands of trucks and trains and cars that go across that border on a daily basis. There's supply chain for food that goes back and forth across the border, automobiles, automobile parts. There are hundreds of thousands of jobs in the United States dependent on that border traffic. I don't know what the president would hope to achieve by somehow shutting that down.
Well, let me talk with you about some of the things that you're proposing. You're talking about, for example, when you raise the question, how safe are we? and having run Homeland Security for a number of years, you're talking about maybe the need for a post 9/11 commission to hand off questions like cybersecurity to and actually get some action on?
Yeah. So, look, after the attacks of 9/11, there was a very high-level commission appointed to reverse engineer what happened. How did those attacks occur? And what that commission found were all the red flags that were popping up that weren't connected. But its chief critique was that there was a failure of imagination. I think in the cyber world, we see all kinds of red flags all the time. We see hacking, we see denial of service attacks, we see theft of personal information from websites and the like. We shouldn't wait until entire communities are potentially shut down because of a cybersecurity attack. And I don't want to be alarmist here, but I do think we need to take a very hard look at how networked we are, how dependent we are on those networks, and how do we prevent a very disastrous attack from occurring.
And what do we do about climate change? I mean, we're doing a lot here in California, serving as an example, many say, for the other states, but how to really best go at climate change?
Well, I think we need to approach it from two aspects. One is, as a nation, we need to rejoin the community of nations and do our part to reduce the rate of global warming. But the second thing we need to focus on is adaptation to the climate change that already has occurred. You know, how and where do we build our roads? What kinds of building materials can be used? If a community is destroyed by an extreme weather event, how and whether that community can be rebuilt and where? These are the things that are responsive to climate and climate change that we need to have a better hold on.
We're talking to Janet Napolitano, president of the University of California and former U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security. She held that position, by the way, from 2009 to 2013 and is the author of a new book called How Safe Are We? Homeland Security Since 9/11. You also, in addition to climate change and cybersecurity, you mentioned gun violence, mass gun violence.
Yeah, and, you know, again, an area extraordinarily complicated, but what we are seeing now is an increasing number of these mass gun attacks, and their motivation's different. Some motivated by an affinity for Islamist and Islamist preaching, some motivated by extreme right-wing or white nationalist beliefs, and some just motivated by some kind of pathology. And we can, I think, really devote some of our public health resources to identifying what are the signals of what causes someone to go from, say, trolling on the web to actually going out and buying a combat-ready weapon and taking it out on his fellow Americans. And what are some good prevention and intervention techniques that we can deploy?
Would you say at this point that the bigger threat of the three that you mentioned is from the right-wing extremism? At least that's certainly seems to tie into what many reports that have come out of our intelligence agencies say, more than the Islamist threat or more than the pathological threat?
Yeah, so we've certainly seen greater death and destruction from the right wing, the white nationalist adherents, and you know, I don't know that we can identify a precise cause for that, but it is a growing problem.
So let me get back to an issue that has, I know, been of great concern to you in your position now as head of the University of California. And that has to do with those on the right particularly being pretty much kept from expressing themselves on college campuses. The president has taken a strong position on this, as he has on so many other things. And I'd like to get it up to date with you, if we could, in terms of where you stand.
So, I think that the president's recent executive order, where he directed 12 departments of the federal government to ensure that college campuses were promoting free inquiry, was unnecessary. And
that was the order on March 25th, we should mention.
Exactly right. Unnecessary and misguided. So the University of California is free speech, and you go walk across our campuses on a daily basis, and you'll find tables out and people out expressing all kinds of views. All kinds of views are expressed in our classrooms and our lecture halls. And Berkeley in particular has gone to great trouble and expense to make sure that speakers, even those that espouse, hateful speech, such as Milo Yiannopoulos, the security is there so that he can speak. So I'm not sure that the president isn't identifying a non-problem, maybe in search of his own headlines.
Conservative speech is not under attack at the University of California, you're saying, contrary to
absolutely not. And the voices of our chancellors couldn't be more clear. And when you just look at the lineup of speakers that have been on our campuses over the last couple of years, it's a very diverse group. So it is really hard to say that somehow conservative speech is being shut down.
Could I ask you also, President Napolitano, to comment on where we are vis-a-vis the Patriot Act? I mean, you expressed some concerns early on about privacy and civil liberties, and they were, if I may say so, indeed justified. It needs, according to, I think, many, and you would be included in this, pretty serious updating with new technology constantly going forward.
I think that's right. I think we all understand the reasons for the original iteration of the Patriot Act. It was the aftermath of 9/11, and there were great concerns about other attacks being planned on the United States. But we're beyond that now, and technology has also evolved beyond that now. You know, one of the things we tried to do at the Department of Homeland Security was take privacy and civil liberties into account whenever we were proposing a new protocol or a new technology. We called it privacy by design, trying to build concepts of privacy in from the get-go. And I think that's a good way to look at it, that there's not necessarily a conflict between privacy and security, but that one can be incorporated into the other.
Talking again with Janet Napolitano, who is president of the University of California. And let me invite you to join us. We're talking about national security and immigration policy with President Napolitano, who's former Secretary of Homeland Security. And you may indeed have questions or comments for her. And if you do, the time to call would be now. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. We welcome your call, so please feel free to join the program. Again, the number to call, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or go right to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. And could you talk a bit about, before we bring our listeners into this, about transparency? I know the auditor hit hard on the University of California. Where are we now in terms of transparency?
Oh, at the University of California, I got to tell you, I've run a state, I've run a federal agency, and now the University of California, there's virtually no fact about the University of California or the operation of the president that isn't publicly accessible, available online. We really try to be as public as we can because we're a public trust, we're a public university.
And do you think things are going to be more opportune, better opportunities under Governor Newsom than there were under Governor Brown?
I certainly hope so. And certainly all early indications are, he really believes in education. He believes in higher education. He appreciates the role that higher education plays for the future workforce of California, the economy of California, among other things. So I'm really looking forward to working with him. You know, he's been on our board as lieutenant governor, so he's very familiar with the university.
I want to, before we get listeners involved, I want to ask you one other question about the university, because I know there's a whole, I don't know if I call it a controversy, but a lot of questions about this Upper Hearst parking lot that the Goldman School of Public Policy and student housing and parking spaces are going to go into. But the real question that's been raised that people are concerned about, I think, profoundly, is non-resident tuition hike. The argument is it's harmful to those who are not so well off, to students, for example, who are, shall we say, unable to afford higher education, and also to out-of-state students and the undocumented. Your thoughts?
Well, so the Board of Regents has voted to hold out-of-state tuition flat again for next year. I had recommended that it be increased only by the rate of inflation to keep it constant in constant dollars, but the board decided for whatever reason to keep it flat, and that's what we intend to do.
And that is something you're going to hold to at this point?
At this point, you know, the board may revisit that in May. Part of this may depend on, you know, what we see in the governor's May revise. You know, ultimately, you know, to run a world-class university providing world-class opportunities for thousands and thousands of California residents and some non-residents, we need the funding to support the institution, and those out-of-state tuition dollars really help.
Let me bring a caller on, and that's you, Ray. Join us. You're on the air.
Howdy. I was at the UC system during the just after 2001 and going up for 5 years after that. And one of the things I saw was the budget they were getting from the state was really constricting what they were able to do. They were getting to the point where they were not able to hire the best professors, the best new people coming in, or they got turned down more often than not because they had no adjustment for housing. What are we doing about that?
President Napolitano.
Well, yeah, I think what the caller is referencing is that particularly in the aftermath of the recession, the state's contribution to the budget of the University of California was drastically reduced. That caused tuition to be increased by quite a bit. You know, has required some tough budgetary choices by the university. Now, I think overall we have managed to sustain our academic and research excellence, even with these budget pressures. But I really think it's important for, the listeners to understand how significant it is that the state invest at the right level to sustain what is the best public university system in the country, bar none.
Let me thank the caller. And Chris wants to know, would Janet Napolitano weigh in on the implications of this morning's whistleblower report about the reversal of security clearance denials in the Trump administration? You've been up on top of that story, President?
Yeah, so I just saw a little clip of it. And so there's a whistleblower from the White House Security Clearance Office about the upper echelon of the White House intervening and reversing 25-some-odd denials of security clearance. And I have to say, I think this should give us pause for concern because those security clearance procedures and standards are there for a reason. They're there to make sure that those who are privy to the top innermost secrets of the United States, that we have confidence that they cannot be subjected to any kind of influence or subject to any kind of misbehavior, so to speak. And when you have a security clearance process that becomes overtly political, that should give us all pause.
We covered that story in the first hour of this morning's program, and we tried to cover a number of stories that are very much in the news. And one of them that came up, which may be a minor story in comparison to the southern border or security clearances or, for that matter, what's ongoing with respect to major stories. But you were part of the Anita Hill legal team, and I have to ask you what your response is to this fire that Vice President Biden is under with respect to charges made by Lucy Flores, former Nevada assemblywoman.
Well, I think she's entitled to make her voice heard, and we should listen. I think the vice president's, actions, need to be, viewed in comparison to his entire record, his support for women, for women's rights, his support for the Violence Against Women Act, by way of example. But and there's no doubt about it that in this Me Too movement, he's got a firestorm on his hands.
Well, he didn't acquit himself very well, according to even his own assessment during the Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas.
It was not his best moment. No, he would acknowledge that, and he should acknowledge that. She was not given the type of hearing that she deserved. And, you know, one of the things that struck me in watching the Brett Kavanaugh hearing was it didn't look like the Senate as an institution had moved that far along in terms of how to deal with serious allegations of sexual harassment in connection with a Supreme Court nomination.
The other main topic in our first hour this morning was the Mueller report and where it's moving forward. And I think you've said that you have no reason to doubt the findings of that report.
Yeah, you know, but of course we haven't seen the report. We've only seen Attorney General Barr's summation of what's in that report. But one thing that's clear is that the Russians were all over our 2016 election. They were hacking emails from the Clinton campaign. They were planting false and misleading stories on social media, you know, all designed to benefit Donald Trump at the expense of Hillary Clinton. And, you know, I am curious as to what really we are doing to make sure that kind of activity is not going to intervene in our 2020 election.
And what needs to be done, in your judgment?
Well, a couple of things. One is, elections are all run by local county officials, secretaries of state. But I think there needs to be some sort of national standard for election security that is uniform across the country. And then the federal government needs to put some resources into local election departments that may not have the budget to meet those standards. So I think I would, you know, I would start with the actual machinery of conducting the election.
We're talking to Janet Napolitano, president of the University of California and author of a new book called How Safe Are We? Homeland Security Since 9/11. Here's another question about safety and security. Justin writes, it is my understanding that we do not X-ray and inspect all the trucks and cargo containers across our border, and that this is how much of the contraband and drugs enter our country. Why do we not do this? Is it simply a matter of resources?
That, and it's a matter of throughput. But, you know, one of the things that you know, we did when I was at DHS is we created what we called trusted trader programs, where companies were pre-vetted and pre-examined for purposes of being able to get through the lanes and get through the ports on an expedited basis. And then those that didn't qualify or weren't in a trusted trader program, they would be pulled aside on a random basis, or if we had some intel on a direct basis, and put into secondary where they could be put through some machinery to see whether there were suspicious compartments and the like. You know, I think we would be well disposed to invest more in our ports of entry and add more to the technology at those ports so that it would increase our ability to look inside more vehicles. But you got to do it and keep the traffic moving. That's the challenge.
Well, it's a big challenge. You've talked a good deal about the need, and you write about it in your book, for more technology as well as more workers or manpower, woman power. The wall, you've said, wasteful, ineffectual, not a good idea, period.
A distraction. You know, what I used to say when I was governor of Arizona, show me a 10-foot wall and I'll show you an 11-foot ladder. A physical wall across 1,940 miles of border is impractical, and it won't stop the bulk of the illegal narcotics and things entering the country that the president says he's so concerned about. Those, unfortunately, come actually through the ports of entry. And so What we need is a strategy, and a wall is a symbol. It's not a strategy. A strategy involves manpower and involves technology, ground sensors, tunnel detection equipment, air cover, use of drones. You know, all of those sorts of things make a real difference in terms of the safety and security of the border region. But a wall, like I said in my book, I think is a distraction.
Well, another question about UC, which naturally is part of the fabric of this segment with you. Peter wants to know, how can the University of California participate boldly, not only in hardening defenses in the cybersecurity area, but also in innovating for new technologies to fight climate change, which, again, you've said are much more important in terms of security than the southern border or building a wall?
Yeah. So on the climate issue, we're doing so much. You know, the university is a system. We have a university-wide goal of being carbon neutral by 2025, which is a very aggressive goal. But in furtherance of reaching that goal, there is just a ton of research being done on our campuses and the development of scalable technologies that can be used. Not just at the university, but by communities and cities, states across the country. So we're heavily invested in this area. But you're right. The University of California is a research treasure. And one of the things that we try to do is you know, focus at least some of those research efforts on addressing main challenges of the day. And one of them, of course, is climate.
Well, here's a final comment I'd like your comment on. Mike writes, I wish Ms. Napolitano, former state attorney general, former governor and cabinet secretary, head of the University of California system, were running for president instead of, for example, our AG turned senator. She is supremely qualified. So you are not now, nor do you expect to be a candidate for this office, along with the horde that are presently aboard?
I am not now and do not intend to be. That's correct. Well, thank you for asking.
Well, it's certainly good to hear that kind of confirmation, though. And I should mention in that vein that people can meet you. You'll be at the Commonwealth Club this Wednesday, April 3rd at 6:30 p.m. talking about your book. And the book, again, is How Safe Are We? Homeland Security Since 9/11. Always good to have you with us. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
That's Janet Napolitano, who is president of the University of California and former U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security, a position she held from 2009 to 2013. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, and an hour is repeated 10 to 11 in the evening. And you can, indeed, I encourage you to continue this discussion online by simply going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. Tomorrow, during the second hour, Dave Eggers will be with us. He has a new book out, and it's called The Path, and The Parade. And you won't want to miss that hour. I hope you will join us for that. We're with you again tomorrow, beginning at 9 and going until 11, as we are Monday through Friday. Thank you for being a part of this morning's program. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.